Dear friends, we gather this day on the traditional and unceded territory of the Algonquin nation.
May we always dwell in this land with respect and peace.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal Father, who at the baptism of Jesus revealed him to be your Son, anointing him with the Holy Spirit, keep your children born of water and the Spirit faithful to their calling. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading is from the book of Isaiah. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord, I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See the former things that have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thank you. Actes des Apôtres. Alors Pierre ouvrit la bouche et dit, « Je me rends compte, en vérité, que Dieu est impartial, et qu'en toute nation, quiconque le craint et pratique la justice trouve l'accueil auprès de lui. » Son message, il l'a envoyé aux Israélites, la bonne nouvelle de la paix par Jésus-Christ, qui lui est le Seigneur de tous les hommes. Vous le savez, l'événement a gagné la Judée entière. Il a commencé par la Galilée, après le baptême que proclamait Jean. Ce Jésus, ici de Nazareth, vous savez comment Dieu lui a conféré l'onction de l'Esprit-Saint et de puissance. Il est passé partout en bienfaiteur. Il guérissait tous ceux que le diable tenait asservis, car Dieu était avec lui. Et nous autres sommes témoins de tout son œuvre sur le territoire des Juifs, comme à Jérusalem. Lui, qu'ils ont supprimé en le pendant au bois, Dieu l'a ressuscité au troisième jour. Et il lui a donné de manifester sa présence, non pas au peuple en général, mais bien à des témoins nommés d'avance par Dieu, à nous qui avons mangé avec lui et bu avec lui après sa résurrection d'entre les morts. Enfin, il nous prescrit de proclamer au peuple et de porter ce témoignage. C'est lui que Dieu a désigné comme juge des vivants et des morts. C'est à lui que tous les prophètes rendent le témoignage que voici. Le pardon des péchés est accordé par son nom à quiconque met en lui sa foi. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus.
Gift of goodwill, then looked up and saw Creator sets free, wading out into the water of the river flowing down. He had come from Circle of Nations, a journey of many days, for the purification ceremony, but Gift of Goodwill tried to stop him. Why are you coming to me? He asked humbly. I am the one who should come to you. This is the way it should be for now, Creator sets free answered. It is the right thing to do, to bring honor to the ways of Great Spirit. Gift of Goodwill agreed to perform the ceremony. As soon as Creator sets free came up from the water, he saw the sky open. The Spirit of Creator came down like a dove and rested on him. A voice from the sky spoke like distant thunder. This is my much-loved son, who makes my heart glad. The Gospel of Christ.
May we respond to the God of love by loving. Amen. I'm going to read to you from a children's Bible. It's actually the Bible that my mother read to us when we were children. It was a Dutch cultural practice that there would be a Bible reading after the meal, and it became obvious to my mother that we were not paying attention at all. So she got a 10-volume set of children's Bibles. And so this is the one that has our gospel story today, and I'll show you that it is filled with pictures. And this was perfect for us when we were 6 and 7 year olds, stories that were 4 pages long, just the right length to get into the story and have a sense of what it was about. We outgrew that experience of sitting around the children's Bible, but we always had memories of being enthralled, listening to her read and looking at the pictures. My mother gave the 10-volume set away to my aunt and uncle, whose children were 10 years younger than us. And so we didn't have them anymore, and they've passed them on to their children. But I now have this again, because in my monthly visits with my mother before she died, she loved going to thrift shops and antique stores. So we were in one, and she saw the 10-volume set, and she decided to haggle the person down to 50 cents each. I was so embarrassed. I mean, it's the Bible, right? But you know, when someone has a task, sometimes you just let them do it the way they're gonna do it. And so she then presented me with this $5 gift of the Bibles we had heard from as children. I don't look at them often, but I took this particular one down this week because I was thinking about Jesus being baptized and remembering how thrilling it was to listen to those stories. So I had a good look at it and found out a little more about the author. I didn't even think anything about the author. So the author is Arthur S. Maxwell, and it was published in 1956. And it turns out that he was an administrator in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and that his 10-volume set was endorsed by a variety of clergy, including Catholics and Protestants, and so it was something that a lot of people had in their homes. I'm not going to read the whole story to you, but I thought I would read a couple of bits. The story that we had in the gospel, as you just heard, Jesus goes to the River Jordan. He sees John, and John recognizes him and says, it should be you baptizing me, but he gets baptized anyway. And then there's this beautiful light and this expression of God's love for him. You heard it in the First Nations version, and so those turns of phrase maybe got you to pay attention even in a different way to how the story is told. But I'm going to read to you the couple of additions that were tailored to make it for children. So this one, earlier on in the story, goes like this. This is Jesus walking to the Jordan. Suddenly, John looked up, As he caught sight of Jesus, a strange look came upon his face. In all the hundreds of people who had come to him for baptism, he had never seen anyone like this. Purity, goodness, and nobility shone from his clear eyes and kindly face. There must have been something strangely godlike about him. Surely this must be the Messiah. So that's in the setup. And as you know from us just having heard it, that's not in how we read it. This is being added to make it a children's story. Now, the author does this also at the end. And this is where, you know, you might say he's turned it into a sermon for children. And I have this very much in mind because we have a children's service this afternoon, and we have this same story. So at the end, after Jesus has been baptized, after there's this great declaration of God's love, it goes like this, two paragraphs. Now, after 30 years of preparation, of study, work, and worship, Jesus was ready to begin his ministry of love that had been planned for him from the foundation of the world. How beautiful it was that on this very day, his father should say to him, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." Just to know that his father loved him must have meant more to Jesus than we can ever imagine. So that's the second last paragraph. And now the last paragraph. You like your father to be pleased with you, don't you? Of course you do. So Jesus was made happy too by his father's words of praise. New courage filled his heart. Now he could go on to meet anything that might happen to him in the days ahead. So I had lots of thoughts about this, lots of reactions to this. As you might guess, I have fond memories of these stories, so it hit very different to hear it as an adult. And the additions, some of them, they're not unreasonable. That John should notice him and say, "You should baptize me," suggests that John saw something special. That's reasonable, that's there. And that this declaration from God that you are my beloved son, that Jesus should know the Father loved him, well, that would be very special, I think. But the harder part is at the end. You like your father to be pleased with you too, don't you? And I thought of the families where there isn't a father, or there isn't a father that's close, or there's two mothers. It's too limiting. It doesn't account for the way we are families now. And even back then, maybe there were fathers who weren't close to their children. It challenges me as an ending. But the impetus to have a children's Bible is an interesting thing. Some parents would say, "Oh, I don't want to influence my children, so I'm not going to give them any religion at all, and they can decide when they're adults themselves." Maybe you've heard parents say that. And other parents will say, "We're people of faith, we're going to go to church, and of course we're going to respect our children's decision in their life later on to decide for themselves, but they'll at least have this experience with us as a family." So we're telling this story today at the children's service. And I know it's not going to sound like this book, because the thinking about how to tell Bible stories to children has changed a lot since 1956. Our Sunday school has a program called Godly Play. And Godly Play is based on the educational theories of Maria Montessori, of the Montessori schools, and the principles that she espoused that are carried into Godly Play are to make this story age appropriate, to encourage the children to have questions and to wonder instead of telling them what to think. And to use quality materials because non-verbally they convey that the story has high quality too. So if you were to go into our children's ministry, our Sunday school room, you would see beautiful props to tell the story because we want the people to convey and understand that the story is beautiful. So I know there will be a story this afternoon where the children will be encouraged to wonder. And rather than have the way this author concluded by telling the children, you know, you want your father to be proud of you too, instead, there will be a question like, I wonder if God loves each of us this way. I'm sure that's what our Sunday school teachers are going to say. It's a fun afternoon when we do this. There's a lot of free running around the church. And maybe it's better to do that in the afternoon than in this time slot, right? But I'm going to draw their attention to the water in the font. And Jesus with children, as you see, hardwired into the architecture right there in that window. And we're going to encourage them to wonder about God's love. But we have also the adult way of telling this story. Our way of reading from the Gospels is you get the little piece where we're standing, and then next week you get a different piece. And today we're going to start what we call a Gospel read-through. So we're going to start at the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, reading aloud in a circle, get as far as we go, and you'll see how the pieces of story fit with each other. And so today what you'll hear is this God saying, this is my beloved son, and then going right into Jesus sent out into the wilderness to face the temptations of the devil. In church, we won't actually read that story until the beginning of Lent, but it's written in the Gospel that Jesus has this great loving affirmation from the Father, and then the first thing that happens is he must face his own potential for failure, his own temptations. Now, in our life, I wonder if it actually happens that way. I think, in fact, it's kind of the other way around. You know, you write your tests for your professional field, you get your accreditation, and then you get hired. This way is Jesus is commissioned by God in this baptism, and then he has to learn. And he learns by going out to the desert. And what he learns, as we're going to hear in our reading, is that he could be tempted to take credit for the things he does to himself. He could be tempted to show off. He could be tempted to fawn over the leaders of the nations rather than worship God. And Jesus rejects all those temptations. In our lives, sure, we get our accreditation for our work, and then we go into our career, we get the job, and actually, maybe it is like Jesus. Maybe we do face temptations to take shortcuts, to not be the leader we could be. In Luke's telling of the temptations, it ends with the devil departed from him until an opportune time. In other words, the temptations don't end. It's a part of your life as a whole that you will be tempted to take shortcuts and easy ways out. This will happen to you. It isn't over just because you passed the exams. You still have to decide what kind of a leader, what kind of a person you're going to be. We are tested in this time about what kind of leaders we are prepared to be simply by watching what's happening in current events. So I want to tell you about one. This weekend, the Episcopal Bishop of New Hampshire addressed the clergy of the Episcopal Diocese of New Hampshire, and it was captured in a video clip and has been shared many, many times by clergy, including clergy I know. And this is what he said. I have told the clergy of the Episcopal Diocese of New Hampshire that we may be entering into that same witness, and I've asked them to get their affairs in order, to make sure they have their wills written. Because it may be that now is no longer the time for statements, but for us with our bodies to stand between the powers of this world and the most vulnerable. He's talking about Minneapolis and American politics. That's what this is about. So my colleague who shared this wrote as an introduction, pray for our brothers and sisters in the Episcopal Church. Pray as well that we are not brought to the test. And one of the clergy of the Diocese of New Hampshire wrote this. Bishop Rob is my bishop, and I could not be prouder to say that. His words brought tears to my eyes, knowing him as a gentle soul, and yet now he has come to the inevitable fork in the road. I stand with him and will support him in any way that I can. I am also proud to say I am a member of, and then the person names their church, which happens to be in Manchester, New Hampshire. And then another person comes in and chimes in, thank you, I am relieved to hear a true Christian speaking out, and if I'm in Manchester, I'll be coming to your church. What does baptism require? Well, what baptism required of Jesus included challenging injustice, challenging empire. But it's also all those other things that we are talking about in our baptism and confirmation preparation group that we've just started. So baptism is about gratitude for blessings, helping others, readiness to be uncomfortable because it's the right thing to do, and resisting empire. So Jesus resisted Rome. There were consequences for that. The wise men resisted King Herod, just by taking another road, and we never hear what happened to them. I'm sure they were fine. This is a time of resistance. For us to live what baptism is about in a time of resistance, we're going to need a safe place to be afraid. We're going to need to stay in touch with our loving God. We're going to need to feel the love and support of people we know. We're going to need encouragement so that we don't give in to easy ways out. You know, the devil coming at an opportune time is the Bible story language, but the temptation to take the easy way. In our baptism preparation group, we're going to be talking about this. It's going to spill over into Sunday morning because conversations have a life and it's meant to be shared. This language of resistance. It's about living the love God has for all people, including the most vulnerable, and including you. I've come around to the very last paragraph of the children's Bible story having a really good final sentence. New courage filled his heart. Now he could go on to meet anything that might happen to him in the days ahead. Amen. Celebrate your gift of love. Help us to be enriched by the rituals we have inherited that anchor and renew us. We pray for our world. We pray to honor and care for our Mother Earth, expanding our awareness of the totality of her provisions for us. We remember with you today those many places of conflict. We pray for peace and justice everywhere. Help us to stay strong and loving when unsettling events in the daily news can scare and terrify us. We pray for peace within homes, families, and within our own hearts. As we sing. We pray for Canada. Inspire our leaders to acknowledge the goodness of humankind and to bravely work to foster good government, making compassionate decisions, cooperating at all levels. Support us as we seek ways to be effective, caring citizens. We pray for our reconciliation with the truths of our Indigenous history so that we can discover how to journey forward together as we sing. Thank you.
for those who have no place to stay. We pray for those who have no food to eat. We pray for those who seek work. We pray for those who are afraid. Help us remember that we are not alone. We pray for the church worldwide and its leaders and members. We pray for all people, those whose spiritual practices are different from ours, and those who are searching. Help them, help us. We pray for children, young people, and their families. We pray for the sick, especially Gary and Linda Houck, Doug, Alice, David, and the family of Sylvia Banku. We ask that your love and comfort be felt by all of us and those close to our hearts. We pray for the departed. We enfold them in tender remembrance as we sing. Beloved Creator, we long for easy hope, for reassurance without responsibility, for peace without proximity. Meet us where we are tempted to look away. Teach us how to stay present. Teach us how to love in ways that take shape in real lives and real places. Give us courage to receive you. Be with us. Amen.
As our Savior taught us, let us pray. To God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. The blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and sustain you and keep you today and always. Amen.
Save grace through God and God's grace.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.